Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 9 of the Road to Transhumanism show. I'm your host, Elio Jrej, and this podcast's main objective is to inform the public about the technologies that will most probably impact the future of human evolution. My guest for today's episode is Mika Redding, founder and executive director of the Christian Transhumanist Association. He's also a software developer as well. Hello, Mika.
Hi, Elio. Great to be here. Thanks for having me.
Thank you for, I'm very happy to have you on the show. And if you recall, in episode number 2, my guest spoke about the Catholic Church's viewpoint regarding human enhancement and longevity. And you mentioned in our discussion the Christian Transhumanist Association. So today we get to know the perspective of this association directly from the founder himself, Mika Redding. I have lots of questions for you, Mika, but let's first start, if you may, with your definition of Christian transhumanism, if possible.
Sure. Yeah. So transhumanism, I would define it as a movement to use science and technology to transform the human condition. And what that tends to raise is ethical questions, right? And so within transhumanism as a whole, there are different ethical formulations and visions and so forth. And so you get the ethical visions of David Pierce, who wants to ease the suffering of the entire biosphere. You get the ethical visions of radical humanists, radical humanitarians, radical egoists, the whole spectrum. And so what we're trying to do is to articulate an ethical vision that's based on the discipleship of Christ. And so the idea is, what does it look like to use science and technology to transform the human condition as exemplified by Christ?
Cool. That's a great definition. And with this in mind, I think we can kick off this episode. So, Mika, Christian believers who listen to my podcast always ask me this question: how can we embrace super longevity and a fundamental pillar of transhumanism if we believe in resurrection through Christ? They also tend to sometimes relate transhumanism to diabolical movements. Can you please ease this confusion for the listeners?
Yeah, absolutely. So Jesus teaches his disciples to pray in the Gospels. One of the things he teaches them to pray is what we call the Lord's Prayer. And you know, millions and millions of Christians pray this every week. And it says, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And so what he's teaching us to pray for is not simply that we go to heaven when we die, but actually that heaven and the reign of God comes here and transforms our world so that it is like heaven. And this is a consistent theme throughout Scripture. You get this in the book of Revelation, which shows the New Jerusalem descending from heaven to earth and transforming the physical world, the physical cosmos. Romans 8, the Apostle Paul looks forward to a time when he says all creation waits in eager expectation for the children of God to be revealed, in hope that creation itself will be liberated to join in the freedom and the glory of the children of God. So the Christian story, the biblical story from beginning to end, is always about the transformation of the physical world and of our physical bodies as part of this larger work of God. And that's historic Christianity. It's been that way for 2,000 years. It's just that sometimes we've forgotten about that. And so when we think about something like resurrection, a lot of people, what they think about is just going off to an immaterial heaven floating on the cloud somewhere, something like this. But that's not the actual picture that you get in the Bible. You get this picture of Christ himself coming out of the grave in a physical body. And early Christians believed this is what they were signed up for. And because they believed that's what they were signed up for, they believed in trying to preserve their bodies after they died and so forth, because they thought that they were trying to lean into this future where we're all going to have greater levels of embodiment, greater levels of longevity, and so forth. And you actually see this all again, all through the scripture, Isaiah 65, 20, this great prophet of Hebrew scripture looks forward to a time when the person who dies at 100 will be thought a mere child. And so that's it's just a consistent theme that longevity is a blessing. Longevity is what God wants for us. Longevity is what God calls us to. And that ultimately is in this universe, even when we're talking about something as extreme as resurrection and immortality.
Okay, I like this perspective from combining science and religion and bringing them together, when other people tend to sometimes break them apart. That's very important, specifically in these times.
Absolutely.
And the daily breakthroughs in science and technology are, as you know, finally paving the way for something we call practical transhumanism. And experts are delving deeper into artificial intelligence, genome editing, and also brain-computer interfaces. However, some people think that by experimenting with these technologies on human beings, specifically with gene editing, scientists are playing God. We hear it a lot. So what's your perspective regarding this saying?
Yeah, so the idea of playing God is kind of a misnomer. Because in the Christian story, we have in Genesis 1, God says, let us create humanity in my image and my likeness, and give them power and essentially control over the entire physical order. And in fact, you see God in the biblical story teaching humanity to actually engage in this process, cultivating life, naming and categorizing creation, engaging in the work of science and technology. And actually one of the first big redemption stories you see in scripture is the story of Noah's Ark, which is a popular story for kids in Sunday school. But it's basically a story where there's a existential catastrophe coming, and God calls a human to construct a giant technological artifact to save the world. Yes. And this is one of our most fundamental stories. It's core to what we understand the Bible to be saying and to be doing. And it's saying that God equips humans to engage in scientific and technological work and cause them to use that work to bring about flourishing life in the world. So God gave us this power. God called us to use this power. The key thing is God calls us to use this power for good, to bring more life instead of less, and so forth. And so that's where the key, it's not a matter of taking away something from God. It's that God has called us to this all along, and that we need to actually obey and do it, because that is what is blessed in scripture, is when people recognize their power that they have as humans, as people made in the image of a creator, and use that scientific and technological power to bless the world.
Okay, so what's the upper limit? Where can we reach a point that we can say we're just imitating God and we're not becoming gods?
Well, so God is, God says in the New Testament a couple of times, he says to his children, he says, you are always with me and all that I have is yours. And so there is nothing that God is trying to hold back from us. Right now, the early Christians understood this as meaning God is infinite and we are finite. And that means we can grow forever. There is no limit. And as long as we're growing towards God and not, say, towards the devil, right? Yes. As long as we're growing towards something good, then there is no limit to that. And there should not be any limit to that. And in fact, to put out a limit would be a sort of blasphemy. G.K. Chesterton, the Catholic writer, says, you know, the one virtue of good is the absence of a limit. And so I think when we actually dig into the Christian tradition and we really wrestle with what it's saying, there is no limit. God does not want us to have a limit. And in fact, what God has done in the work of Christ is to open all doors, all gates. There are no limits. The only question is, which direction are we going? Are we going towards good or bad? And we always have to be evaluating that, because with great power comes great ability to destroy. And we have to wrestle with that along the way. And that's the actual thing. It's, are we using this for good? Are we using it for bad? Both things are always possible. And we have to actually consider those.
Absolutely. And I read this yesterday in one of your tweets and from the Christian Transhumanist account on Twitter. So Mika, in the 21st century, it brought lots of challenges to religion and faith. Like gene editing is one example, let alone cloning, reverse aging, robotics, and even pandemics like COVID-19. But on the other hand, the transhumanist movement is facing lots of critics from people who do not exactly know the real philosophy behind it, relating it ironically to evil plans such as the eradication of humanity. My question to you is, what role is the Christian Transhumanist Association playing in fixing the flaws in both sides and bringing religion and transhumanism together?
Yeah, so there's several different kind of fronts for that conversation and that dialogue. And one of the things that we're trying to do is to help a lot more people in the world get involved in these conversations. That's one of the ways in which I think transhumanism faces some real issues, is that the group of people who are involved in shaping it is so small relative to the number of people in the world. And so one kind of path into that is to help religious people connect to it, right? Because there are billions of religious people in the world. And so I believe they need to find a way to engage productively, constructively in this conversation. And so one of the things we're doing is simply helping fellow believers, people of faith, and so forth, to engage meaningfully and constructively, and hopefully, like I said, creating kind of a bridge for, you know, potentially billions of people to get involved in thinking about and working on these things. The other aspect of this, I think, that sometimes goes missing in I wouldn't say it's ethics per se, but it's maybe a way to root those ethics in history and tradition. And I actually think people want history and tradition, and they want to know that they're connected to a long line of people who have been, you know, pursuing similar aims and similar values and so forth. And so I think one way, by looking at this through a Christian lens, we actually see that that transhumanism is not a new thing. It actually goes back thousands and thousands of years. And it actually has people who are engaged in lots and lots of thought about it. And you even look at like something like the works of theologians like Thomas Aquinas, the kinds of discussions they're having are what we would group under AI discussions today. And so you could put them right alongside like the kinds of stuff Nick Bostrom talks about. And because these concerns have been there all along. And I think connecting to those is a big thing that can help everybody on all sides of this kind of come to a better relationship, a better understanding of each other. And be able to work together. And ultimately that's what we're looking for, is to be able to work together productively to create a better future for everyone.
Okay, and here we need to go beyond Christianity, right? We need to combine all religious perspectives and all the different subsectors of transhumanism.
Yeah, so everybody needs to work together. I think the way we work together is not by erasing our differences, but by seeing how those differences actually fit together and uplift each other, right? And so the there's something that's core to the Abrahamic religions, which includes Judaism and Christianity and Islam and a few others, which is just the call of Abraham. Abraham is called the father of faith, and Abraham is called to form a people who will bless the entire world. So the call of Abraham is not just to build a group or a religion for yourself, for your own good. It's actually to build a group, a religion, whatever, for the good of everyone, for the good of the world, and even the good of the entire cosmos, I would argue. And so that's what we have to keep in mind here, whether you're Catholic, Protestant, Orthodox, Jewish, Muslim, whatever, you have a calling to be blessing the rest of the world, those who are not you. And I think that's an important thing for us to keep in mind.
Great. Thank you for this great message. And I really appreciate your contribution to the transhumanist community as a whole, Mikko. But for the people who are new to the topic of Christian transhumanism and want to know more about this movement, where can they find the latest news and updates about the Christian Transhumanist Association and Bigger Reading specifically?
Yeah, absolutely. So probably the best place to start would just be christiantranshumanism.org. And from there, you can jump off into our pretty active Facebook group. We have interviews and podcasts and videos with other people. We've had a couple of different yearly conferences over time where we have some videos from that. And so that's kind of where I would start. We also have a presence on Twitter at, it's a little bit hard to spell because Twitter's name constraints, but Xianity Plus. But you can find that from our website as well. And I'm Micah Redding. I have a website at micahredding.com. And yeah, that's probably where you should start for reaching out and connecting with me. So,
okay, I'll make sure to link all these socials in this podcast. And are you facing everyone is facing problems with COVID-19, but from the perspective of the Christian Transhumanist Association, are you facing some real issues in your daily work?
Well, so personally, a lot of us, and myself included, have been in something like software development or something like that. So a lot of us have been able to fortunately work from home without too much disruption. But of course, all around us, the world is disrupted, and that changes everything. And one of the big things for the Christian Transhumanist Association is we had to actually not put on our annual our conference this past year, and so that pretty much disrupted us. And we've had to, figure out how are we going to approach this going forward. And that's been something we've been thinking about and working through, and figuring out new ways to approach this. So the great thing about our time, and the great thing about working with other people, is that we're able to find things, adapt, and come out stronger than ever before. And so that's what I'm hopeful for, and I think that's where we're going.
Exactly. It's all about adaptation and innovation. And before we end this lovely discussion, any final thought or recommendation you would like to share?
Well, I just want to say thank you for having this conversation. I think it's really important. I think so often people who are coming from a secular transhumanist perspective believe Christians can't authentically be transhumanist, and that's not the case. And people who are coming from a Christian perspective, a lot of times believe that transhumanists can't be authentically Christian, and that's not the case either. And there are members of our association who are Catholic, Orthodox, Protestant of all stripes. It's wide open. It's completely possible for you to be a authentic, deeply committed Christian and an authentic, deeply committed transhumanist who recognizes no barriers to science and technology and who embraces a radically optimistic, positive future.
Amazing. Micah Redding, thank you so much for joining me today in the Road to Transhumanism show. I'm very happy for your intervention. And for
thank
everyone,
thank you so much. It's been great to be here.
Thank you. And for everyone listening, thank you for tuning in. And I'll talk to you in the next one. Please stay safe.